Thank you.
And then this is the fine for not having the test. And then I'm aware as well that you aren't going to take any COVID test kits from the border officers.
Yeah, why do I need a COVID test kit?
Because it's, so what it is that you have to take a test upon coming to the border, as well as you take a test on your day one of your quarantine and your day 10 of your quarantine.
Okay. So I was reading the Quarantine Act, if you can answer me. So under section 14.1, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that section?
Yes.
Okay. Can you please elaborate what it means?
So section 14.1, you're talking about the section where it states that there will be no invasive screening.
Correct.
And then this is the, so the screening is what's being done right now.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And that's invasive, right?
The invasive would be like a temperature gun. I'm not sticking a temperature, the temperature gun with a thermal temperature. It just goes right on the skin.
And that is fine. What about the actual act of putting the object, the foreign object, in my body?
That's not anyone, no one from public health will be inserting anything into you.
So why then do you give me a fine for it?
Because it's still a requirement to take the test. You don't have to take the test here. If you don't want, you could go home and do it yourself.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. So if you're not going to take that, that'd be another fine, okay?
Okay, yeah, I'll take the fine.
Okay.
And then I have two more questions.
Yes.
Is Canada or is Toronto going into a third phase now?
That's more provincial. Unfortunately, I can't really provide any kind of guidance on that.
And then what's this, is Canada going to implement this quarantine passport?
Again, unfortunately, I don't have all that kind of information. I really can't provide any guidance on that.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, then.
All right,
thank you.
Do you have enough gas to get up to Mississauga?
Yes.
Okay. If you do need to stop for gas, just pay at the pump only.
Okay.
You need to use a restroom, keeping your mask on in and out as quickly as possible. If you need to grab any food on your way up there, just drive through only. Then once you get to your place of residence, you're there for the 14 days for your quarantine period. There are two reasons you're allowed to break quarantine. One would be if you need to seek medical attention at a hospital. The other would be if you are traveling directly back to the United States.
Okay.
Outside of those two reasons, if you are found breaking quarantine, there are fines.
Okay.
Starting at $1,000, ranging up to $750,000, and go up to 3 years in prison.
All right, thank you.
Okay. That's it.
That's it?
Yep.
Thank you. And there...
There you go. It is March 30th, 2021. It is 8:27 in the p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Tonight, we have a fantastic show. Hopefully, we will see the beautiful human vibration vibrate her way onto the set. It's 8:27. I'm starting a little early because I'm playing some Chris Sky stuff. So here's Chris.
Likewise. Okay, guys, I'm over here. I just went live. We're at Tiger Dragon Martial Arts. Rebel News is here. We're here with the owner, Kerry Stone, and we're going to talk to Rebel. They just got served some kind of notice. We're going to open it up. It's some kind of registered mail. They threatened that they were going to come here and try to change the locks, lock the doors and all that, but we figured if we showed up here with some people, they wouldn't be able to do that, and we got some people here. You guys going to see.
Yeah.
We got Rebel News over here, and this landlord's a real piece of work. There's fraud going on here, and I'm going to name it on the air to call this guy out. He literally made a lease for an address, 948 St. Clair West, which is where we are now. But that's not the actual address of the building. It's actually an Oak Street address. And the reason the landlord used the fake address is because he could charge more money this way. So now this gentleman's been here for years, spent hundreds of thousands of dollars in rent fraudulently, and now with the COVID and his business being shut down, the landlord is basically trying to kick him out on the street because he's still paying his percentage of the rent that he's supposed to pay, but the landlord just trying to be a dick and he also tried to up his rent without telling him, and then basically sent him a bill in December backdated 6 months ago with all new rent prices for the last 6 months, which is also fraud. So we have multiple counts of fraud from this landlord. And that's why I challenged him and said, we're going to come down here. If you try to lock this place up, we're going to get you charged with fraud. And then not only are you going to get charged with fraud and have a criminal record, but the 300 plus thousand.
Okay, I'm cutting Chris off early because it looks like we have the absolutely stunningly beautiful human vibration.
Well, hello. Quite the intro. Thank you so much.
Well, I am one of those heterosexual males, and just because I'm married doesn't mean I'm dead.
Doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And we were them, they, there.
Not me. Well,
just kidding.
I wasn't just attracted to your pretty face because I hadn't seen it until I watched the last video on YouTube that you were in. But I was more attracted by your information. And, of course, you were on the Fakeologist Discord briefly before.
Briefly, yes, once before, about a year ago, yeah.
And I'm actually going to make you the center stage of the screen here. Now, I don't have a camera. I don't show my ugly mug, mainly because I just started video YouTubing, streaming earlier, and I've been doing an audio podcast for the last 9 years without showing my face, only because, again, it's nothing much to look at. So don't feel badly that you're not looking at me, but I'm looking at you. It does seem rather unequal. But
should I go? There's nobody watching. Should I go ahead and hide myself?
No. You stay right there.
I'll be on my screen. I'll share my screen.
I figured you're going to be doing that mainly anyway, but it's still fun to watch a pretty woman. Okay, that's enough sexist talk, but that's just how I feel.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Vibration.
I tell you, there's so many fantastically minded women in the truth community and in the anti-COVIDs community now, including there's another fantastic woman that I'd love to have on here named What's Her Face, and you may have heard of her. And she is just doing...
I haven't. I'll check her out, though.
Check her
My
out
favorite
on...
lady in the truth community is My Maria. She's pretty great. If you haven't looked into her stuff, she has an incredible mind. If you want to talk simulation theory with anybody, she's a really cool person to talk to you about that.
Yes. Well, why don't we off the top just say that you have a podcast and you have a Twitter. Just tell us everywhere where you can be found. So if people don't want to listen to anything else, at least they can go right now and check you out and see if they're going to be interested in the rest of this show. And tell us all about your collaborators as well.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, so I exist mostly on Twitter. Mostly. That's where I started out on Human Vibration, just at Human Vibration on Twitter. And now I'm also on a podcast. I've been a guest on quite a few podcasts. And now I am part of a podcast group called Real Eyes Radio. Mm-hmm. And we're supported by the Black Pill, the guys at the Black Pill podcast, Black Pill Radio Group. And so Real Eyes Radio is with myself, Human Vibration, also Rambo and Murph on Twitter. So we kind of are known as Human Vibration, Rambo and Murph. And we were kind of a little trio. We were kind of a little trio for about a year there. We were all kind of sharing information back and forth on publicly on Twitter, but also kind of back channeling with each other, asking each other a lot of questions, you know, trying to figure all of this stuff out together. While we were sharing very publicly, we were also asking each other's questions privately. And along the way, a lot of people had suggested, why don't you guys get together and do a podcast? Because we all kind of come at it from we have a very similar mindset, but we all come at it from different ways. Mm-hmm. We share a pretty deep curiosity. So it's fun. On Fridays, we get together and chat. We've done 4 episodes. So, we're brand new. And we've only committed to 8 for this little initiative. So we'll do 8. We'll see how it's a lot of work. So I applaud all the podcasters out there. Anybody doing a regular recording.
All content creators. I just take my hat off to you guys. I'm trying for the first time because my work changed a little bit in the last 2 weeks. So I'm in the middle of some work, so I have more time. So I'm trying to do Sunday to Thursday. I just said I'd be here for half an hour to talk about my research. And then if nobody came on to question on the phone lines, then I would just sign off. But if anyone came on and wanted to talk, I'd go for an hour and a half. But otherwise, most people tune out after half an hour of someone droning on to themselves. So I just, I know as a big listener, that's how I feel. Unless the person is so entertaining. And it's really hard to be really entertaining every single night without help.
It's a lot of content. People that have these daily shows.
Yeah.
Anything over once a week seems like an insurmountable.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. So kudos to you. And you own you operate the Discord as well.
Well, yes, I have the Fakeologist site. I don't know if you've heard of the site, but it's been going since 2012. And I have been on to Media Fakery in 9/11 as my main talking point since that time, only because it was the biggest PSYOP of all time. It was one that almost everyone in the whole world was aware of. So I thought, if I can explain this over and over in a psychic driving kind of way, maybe I can get my point out. And it does go pretty dry for the regulars because they don't want to keep hearing about it week after week. And then as I am also a technology buff and I love software, so anytime something new comes along, I try and see if it can fit with the website. So I was on, I had somebody introduced me to an audio service called TeamSpeak, which was what the gamers use to talk to each other while they're playing a game. And then Discord came along. And that was even more colorful, easier to use, app-friendly, mobile phone-friendly. So that increased the participation quite a bit. But the only thing I don't like about it is that, number one, it's not my content. Discord owns it. I'd have to scrape it all the time. And then they killed my channel about 3 months ago. So a big toilet flush sound where all those... Not that people go back into the text anyway, but it all disappeared, including the format. So it's just another thing that reminds us that this is not; these are not our playgrounds. If they want to shut the playground and take all our toys with it, then they can do that. So that's why I started FakoTube, where I put my favorite videos that I think are in jeopardy of being pulled, and that's my server.
That's a good idea. That's a great idea.
Now, I can't. I'm not YouTube. I can't take every single favorite video and put it there. I've only got so many resources.
True.
But I can store, at the moment, 1 terabyte of video. And I degrade the video right down to the lowest before it becomes unfocused, just because I want to pack as many of the videos. And most of the time, it's the audio that people want to hear anyway. Sure. There's not a lot of visual.
Great archiving system. You don't. You only need what you really need. So you're doing. I think that's a great.
Yeah, but yet I use this Restreamio, and I'm on all these different platforms. And I tell people go to FakoTube.com right now because there's interactive chat there. But it's just so hard to get people to break their habits. They just think YouTube is the only video source in the world to go to. And tonight, just as I logged in, I noticed that YouTube struck the channel. And now I'm not streaming to YouTube right now because I didn't have a chance to reestablish another channel. Play that whack-a-mole.
They get you every time.
Yeah.
You know.
But that's where everyone goes. I have all these options, but people are over on YouTube. And I think, come on, guys. Don't you get it? This content gets killed on the daily. Get over to my other platforms. But it just shows how humans are so... set in their ways. It is so hard to move people. It really
is. We're on a loop. Yeah, we're programmed. We're on a loop.
Yeah.
We're on a loop. I was actually thinking about that earlier today. I'm in a new neighborhood, and as I was driving, I saw, it was like 2:30, and I saw like a medical professional. It was like a doctor. I could see he was in his scrubs, and he was like walking a dog. And I thought to my head, because it was at 2:30 on the dot, and I thought to my head, I bet if I drive this same road at 2:30 tomorrow, I would see that same individual. And it wouldn't be hard. I know that I would run into that individual because that person is on a loop, just like I'm on a loop. And it kind of made me realize I was introduced to the idea of chaos magic really by Nick Hinton. He's wildly popular. There's a lot we don't agree on, as far as kind of the content that we share, but there's a lot that we do agree on, he and I, and like kind of our thoughts about how this world works and our positioning in it and what things that we can do to kind of take back control of our world. And chaos magic is this idea of just doing something different in your everyday life. Mm-hmm. If you just take a different route to work, just try it. You know, it may save you time. You never know. It may add a little bit of time, but there's something significant could happen on that trip, or something may happen that in your day that could have only happened because of your arriving in the manner that you did. Or sometimes it just makes, it's kind of like an F you to the system. Like, I'll go whatever way I want. You know, I can, I'm a free person. I can take a left instead of right.
I'm going to click on that, Nick, because you're going to drop all kinds of names and stuff tonight that I've never heard of. And I'm in the transportation business, and for the first, I've been in it for 31, 32 years. I'm
Well, like ground transportation?
Yeah.
Like
courier. And now I'm in trucking. And one
logistics.
Yeah, logistics. I've been doing it for a long time. I just like the independent business nature. I'm sort of a half entrepreneur. I don't really want to do my own thing, but on the other hand, I don't want to be in office, being in an office, being chased around and breathed on and looked at and harassed. So it's sort of a half and half. I'm sort of a 1 foot in, 1 foot out type of person. I'm not a high flyer.
You know, but I really respect the trucking and logistics industry because every single object, if you look around and you're, it doesn't matter where you are, doesn't matter what room you're in, you just look around yourself, everything you see has been on a truck.
Absolutely. Everything. I've seen that billboard.
There's not one thing that exists in front of you unless you chopped the tree down and built yourself a chair in front of you.
Yeah.
Everything that you see in front of you.
And it's a huge employer. It's a huge employer in the United States and Canada. We're so spread out. We have to move stuff around long distances. But my original point is I signed up for the part of the courier where I woke up in the morning and would be dispatched anywhere in the province that I'm in, Ontario. So I never knew where I was going to go. So there's your chaos theory.
Yes,
I just like that idea that, okay, I'm here. I'll start here in my driveway. Send me wherever. Now, of course, patterns did emerge. You tend to go to the same customers, which went to the same distance. But for the most part, I didn't care where I went. I actually liked to go different places, and I appreciated that. But it somewhat curtailed my income because the randomness, the random calls sometimes didn't pay enough. And I just chose eventually to take set runs because it was set pay, set driving. And you almost turn into a subway driver where you're on the same track every day. And the monotony for a human being sets in very heavy, very quickly.
Oh, that's a great point.
But you can always count on your income. It's always just about the same every time. But I like chaos just for what you said, because new opportunities do arise for sure. So just talking to you. And actually, just looking at your Twitter, it's sort of an example of chaos theory, because I look at your Twitter and it goes a million different directions. And because of the nature of Twitter, a microblogging service, you favorite things, you retweet things. And because it's of interest to you, it probably is going to be of interest to me. And then I find a lead that goes a mile wide another way.
Oh, yeah. You can get lost.
Oh, my goodness.
Just human vibration Twitter, for sure.
Yeah, your content's so huge, which that's not the right word, but it's just so diverse that, yeah.
Broad.
And I like it because I don't understand a lot of it. It's not my main focus, but there's enough overlap between Fakeology and what you do that it keeps me interested in.
Oh, sure. And you might hear my dog barking for just a second.
That's fine.
I swear she won't bark for long.
Sure.
She's pretty good. She's pretty good with these podcast things.
Yeah.
You know, I think that I've been really interested in what you're putting together. 9/11 seems to be kind of like a touchstone for you and everything. I think that a lot of the stuff that I've looked on your Discord, that seems to be kind of a unifying topic for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And not that everybody's super unified on exactly what they believe, you know, like there's a really broad area there, but we all get that there's something bigger. Like there's something going on there. There's a there. There's obviously some real fakery at play. And I think for me, 9/11 was a really big early one. And that's something. So when I was really interested when I was looking on your Discord, about a year ago,
I think I shared
stuff about JonBenet and 9/11.
Yeah.
And I would say I have a radical view on 9/11. But it mirrors my view on JonBenet. It all kind of tags together. So my JonBenet Ramsey obviously was, or not obviously, this has been a long time, so people don't really know sometimes. She was in 1996. She was this child beauty queen that seemed to be ritualistically murdered, and just the most horrific story that could happen to the most innocent, beautiful, beautiful little girl. And the story stuck with us forever, and it really haunted me. It haunted me my whole life. It haunted me for decades.
Well, can I interrupt? You look young. Were you in 1996 sitting in front of the Television like I was watching Larry King live?
Yeah, I was.
You were?
I was
okay.
11. Yeah, I was 11.
But 11, you were allowed to stay up at 9 o'clock and watch Larry King live?
You know, it was more of the People magazines. It was more of the People magazines because she was on every cover. She was on every cover of People magazine.
Right.
And that's something that you can't really hide for your kids. That comes in the mail, and that's right there. And I just remember looking at her face, like, People magazine every week, or I don't know if it was weekly or I think so.
Yeah, People was weekly. Yeah. Yes, I paid for it in our house, so I know. It came every week. Mm-hmm.
I just remember they had all these really fantastical spreads about her house and her family, and the whole story was just really, really like a fairy tale.
It was well developed.
It was very well developed, very, very, very well developed. And the facade of the home actually looked like Hansel and Gretel's.
Mm-hmm.
It was this gingerbread style. It even had like these little candy canes. It had a row of candy canes leading up into the front of the home.
Oh my goodness. The things you saw that I missed. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of very potent imagery was built into the JonBenet case, and that's something that I have noticed in everything that I really dive into is it's the potency of the imagery. You know, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. Well, why? I mean, there's just so much baked in. There's so many symbols. Like, where there's so many. I would say there's a million. You know, there's a million things, and sometimes communicated in one single image. You know, and everything is information, light and color and sound. So like these videos we watch, it's everything. It's the whole tableau. And I think social media is a really clever delivery system for these fake videos and all the things that you're looking into, all the fake stuff. I think the purpose of social media, the true purpose is to fill our brains with just more. It's like just televisions in our pocket and that we ask for, you know, instead of like tuning into the broadcast news, because that's all we have, we'll tune into our favorite TikTok. But everything on TikTok is remarkably CGI looking. You know, I feel like they feed us these weird videos of people doing these unrealistic dance moves, and then we copy that, and it's like a copy of a copy, and it's just degrading humanity. It's degrading us, this pure, you know, creation engine. And it's making us do these ridiculous copies of fake things. And I think that it's like stealing our magic. I think that all this fake stuff is stealing our magic. So really, it doesn't matter what angle you hit it from, whether it's the 9/11 is unreal in a way of like, or sometimes these events that they, you know, especially these really traumatic stories where, you know, sometimes even like, I've really questioned serial killers the entire time.
Absolutely. Well, let me just quote from Miles Mathis, who is another individual that some people say is a project. And I'd like to have you have, you know about him then. I think he could be an umbrella project himself, although there are people that I like that say they met him in Taos in New Mexico.
I love his takedown on
Nicole Brown. But let me just speak to one thing he wrote very recently, and that is the umbrella project of the past century is Operation Chaos. I'm tying that into the beginning
and
of this conversation.
Umbrella. I want to come back to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Was promulgated with the express purpose of making us mentally ill, since the mentally ill are easier to control. A growing segment of the population is mentally ill to a marked degree, and those who now think that gender is a matter of identity are among the furthest gone. Now, he's just bringing up Operation Chaos, Umbrella Operation Chaos, in the context of the transgender agenda. And all
interesting
the things.
We mentioned that at the top of the thing.
Yes.
That kind of concept.
So that is what we're under. So we've heard so many times just quotes that may or may not be true, that we know the operation will be complete when everything the American public believes is fake. And
brilliant.
William
it's
Casey.
It's diabolically simple. It's diabolically simple. And the delivery system is so good, you know.
And getting better.
It's getting better. It's so good. I really resonated with everything that you said, that quote from Miles Mathis.
Oh, he's such a great writer. I wish I could write half as well.
He's an excellent writer.
Mm.
I really, you know, words are vibrations. Our words are our swords. Mm-hmm. The pen is mightier than the swords, as they say. You know, I really think that if you can articulate yourself properly, if you can get out up here, if you've got some good stuff going on up here and you can really get it out, whether it's through writing or whether it's through verbalization, it's difficult to do.
And that's why only the elite are sent to those Jesuit schools to teach them the trivium, the quadrivium, the art of rhetoric, because they're given the techniques. And I, obviously Bill Clinton was Jesuit trained or Rhodes Scholar trained because
he was a great orator, you know.
Right.
He was known for his speaking, yeah.
Right.
And jazz musician.
Sure. Yes, all these things that are used for communication. And they know, I think the number one studied science, if you want to call it, in the history of the world is psyops and psychology. So if you want to control the world, you need to know how to control the herd. So they know every single weakness, tendency, bias of the human brain. And they have that down pat. And they only give that information to their top leaders, the people they want to be the controllers. Every one of us has no idea what's happening on a daily, weekly, yearly basis to us. We just think everything is organic and it's happenstance and it just happens because that's the way the herd's moving. No, no, no. We are guided 24/7. And now we are in the chute, you know, where the animal is corralled and goes to slaughter. Yes. We are now in the chute running fast. Mm-hmm. In this coronavirus hoax, and it's
what a metaphor.
Oh,
what a metaphor.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're just galloping down into the back of the slaughterhouse, and people are lining up voluntarily. It's so sad. And I like Jeff Berwick, Dollar Vigilante. He said the next 5 or 10 years, your only job is to avoid that needle. If you have to sacrifice everything to avoid it, and if you can get through the cull and get to the other side, congratulations. That will be your task in this video game that he thinks we're also in.
You know, that makes me think of your metaphor for the corralling of the herd and running through the gates, galloping through those formed gates that, you know, are just so to keep the cows, you know, to keep their vision from being too upset by their surroundings. It reminds me of like the Minotaur's maze, you know, and the whole story is Theseus trying to get into the center of the maze to fight the Minotaur, and the Minotaur is a bull, a cow. Mm-hmm. What if the whole thing is like us barreling into the, we're the Minotaur. Mm-hmm. We're barreling into the center of the maze. Like we gotta, maybe it's the other way around. Maybe someone like, I don't know, all these, I'm totally trying to deconstruct all of our Greek stories. I think that there's probably something much deeper in these things. And the kind of idea of these, of us as cows following this curved path into our destruction, you know, makes me really think about like what the maze, should we be trying to get out of the maze? Should we be trying to get to the center of the maze? Like what are we doing here? But I think, I mean, pulling back from that, I want to ask you that you mentioned that the vaccines, vaccine also means bovine, V-A-C-C, it actually means cow.
Right, vacca.
Yeah, vacca.
From Latin. Vaca.
Mm-hmm. So this is absolutely a connection to it. What do you think is in the vaccine? Like, what do you think this is? Is this an mRNA thing?
I think, and I've said this for the last year, I think it's anywhere from it does absolutely nothing to it's toxic. So I know for sure in my research, it doesn't do any good. So I've already eliminated, there's no upside to doing it.
So like as far as its efficacy, it's not doing what it says it's doing. So like, whether
right, because
so
I don't,
kind of like
I don't believe in the germ theory whatsoever. I don't even believe in the official story of what a vaccine does, how it works, how it so-called activates your immunity. I think immunity is another false paradigm where we just have
immunity.
A system. We have a system that is in balance. There's no immunity. So when we are thrown out of balance by the four ways we get sick, injury, toxicity, super stress, and malnutrition, if any one of those four occurs, then we exhibit symptoms that we are sick.
Disease
in the body. We're of disease, and we are not contagious in any way. I don't believe in contagion. I don't believe in any virus transmissibility. I think that is all a 100-year lie, 150-year lie. There's so many 150-year-old lies that we are living under now.
I think they're all about to break, but yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
Yes. Well, the other thing I say is we are in a race between the Great Awakening and the Great Reset / Culling. So I don't know. I think the Great Awakening
I have no
is
doubt.
Losing. right now?
I have no doubt we're going to do just fine.
Well, that's great. That's why I wanted to talk to a sunny face, because I go down, you know, when you turn.
If I awakened in this level, if I got here, it's totally possible. It's totally possible for the rest. Like, it's, mm-hmm. I think that this is going to happen. I think that we've been on a loop. I think about like the 1800s is when this version of humanity starts. And maybe this is every version of humanity. Maybe every version of humanity starts in the 1800s. And that's why we have this fascination with the Wild West, and everything's mm-hmm. always about the Wild West and Zorro Ranch. Even at the whole, you go down the whole Epstein rabbit hole, and at mm-hmm. his place in New Mexico had a whole Western. Anyway.
Okay. Like, you know more about that than I do.
That's just another rabbit hole. I think it's all manufactured rabbit hole. But yes. The Wild West is like a big part of our psyche. Something about the 1800s. And I think that there is, sorry, my dog is drinking water in the background.
That's okay. I can't hear it.
That waterfall sound. You know, I think that there's actually something that our records of history, kind of everything just fizzles up right around the 1860. There's even this idea of the orphan trains, of like kids coming in on these what they were called orphan trains, mm-hmm. like hundreds of thousands of kids just arriving in these cities.
Yes.
That were supposed to have had no parents.
Yes, I've heard you say that.
What if they were like Gen 1 somehow? Like, what if they didn't have parents? What if like this was Gen 1 humanity? Mm. And actually, when you look at the generations, what generations are called, they stop around the 1800s. There's no names of generations. Like the Gen X, Gen Z, Gen whatever.
Yeah, that's marketing, since the word teenager was invented.
Totally.
Yeah.
But I think it's really interesting that it starts at like the 1860s. Like, that's when, and it's called the Lost Generation. The first generation on record is called the Lost Generation.
There's a 9/11. Researcher who was a little wacky called Nico Haupt, who said we only go back 400 years and that's when things started. So
well, I'm even kookier than that. I say it's even less than that.
Yeah that's and John LeBon, who is another member of Fakeologist, he has lots of research on the history hoax, saying just about everything that we're told is a hoax, and there's stories. Now we know for sure, just in our own generation, that our research shows that 9/11 was just a story, a fairy tale. So that is recent history that we most of us here agree was a hoax. But that will be written as it is believed by the majority of people.
Same thing with COVID. Yeah.
And that's
COVID,
why.
9/11, everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you see, if we don't pass this information on like we're doing now, or if it goes down the memory hole or evaporated,
right,
it will be as if in 25 years there was no opposition. Nobody was recorded as questioning 9/11. Just like the flat earthers disappeared, and that whole, they went maybe 100 years without questioning the shape of the earth, because as far as people know, nobody questioned the shape of the earth. Well, guess what? There was a large group of people, but they went down the memory hole and their records were destroyed or just not passed along. So many things can just disappear if they're not recorded properly and transmitted to the future.
I think that's the beauty of this whole system too. Mm-hmm. Things can just go poof, you know.
Yeah.
I wonder, is that what, I would love to pick your brain on Mandela effect as well, because that's a big hot topic for people. For me, I'm super curious about it. Is there a manipulation happening? Like, is there a real switcheroo in our physicality? Is, you know, are books that say Berenstain Bears really being changed in the physical realm? Is that happening? Or are they just trying to implant this idea in our head that something like that could happen because atoms are being smashed at CERN?
Yeah. Well, I don't believe in CERN, and I don't even believe
in
atoms.
I don't either.
So the whole atom theory, these are just models that are trying to.
Disney created the idea of that. Disney.
Yes, you said that. Yes, when you said that, I was so disappointed that we really do base our ideas on atoms from Disney. Are you kidding me? Because.
Yeah.
I knew it was a myth, just like I believe that nuclear science is a complete hoax. It is all fake.
I think so too.
All of it. So
it could be great. I mean, it could exist. I'm not saying nuclear energy is fake. That's not what I'm saying.
I am.
Well, maybe it's good. Maybe it's good stuff. Maybe it's like, I like to think of nuclear energy as new clear energy.
Or I like to think of it as unclear. The story is unclear.
The story is unclear. I think that that's actually more fitting.
Yeah.
You know,
I think it's a totally fake.
I do get too caught up in my own bullshit sometimes, pardon my French, but I do kind of like sometimes I get what they called high on your own supply.
Yeah.
So I have to step away from the everything is fake stuff. I don't believe nuclear is bad.
No.
But I'm still in this like weird realm where I'm like, well, maybe there is something of called nuclear energy and it's just a really robust way of heating.
I'm not a great researcher. I think I'm a great collator. So I like to bring in different people, different research. I like to go so far. I put it in front of people and I say, discuss. So I have one great researcher called SMJ, who is a great extractor of Wikipedia, as I like to call it. And he goes and finds all the origin stories of where nuclear came from. And it always comes, he always brings the same old people from the same old places that write the same old story. So they're all connected, and it's the same storytelling clique and clan that bring these stories. Just like you said, okay, Walt Disney is heavily, he is the basis of our knowledge of space and atoms. So there you, it all, how is it, what a coincidence that it all goes back to the master storyteller. Come on, that's not science.
That's a great way to put it.
They're storytellers, and they're the Disney's the best storytellers.
I mean, come on. They even call it his story.
Right.
Like, that used to be a joke.
Yeah.
But it's not a joke. It's literally called.
Don't give them ideas. They're going to cancel that word next week now.
They're going to be like, her story. Yeah, their story.
Or just past story. Yeah, their story or their Zay story or whatever.
Yeah, Z story, whatever. Yeah, it's going to be all sorts. It's going to be all over the place. Whatever it is, it's going to be weird.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know, I do think the history is told by the victors, whatever.
Well, I call them the controllers.
The puppeteers, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's just a design. I think we're supposed to believe it's the quote unquote victors because we're supposed to believe that there was this long drawn out battle and now that there's like a big dog in charge after this epic battle of whatever.
Mm.
But I kind of think more of like, we're just kind of in this mouse. This is just a game and we're trying to, I think that we're on this perpetual loop and we've always been on it. And if we can figure it out, if enough people, I honestly think it's 1%. I think it's 1% of the population. And that's why they made this whole thing about the 1% being the elite. Mm. I don't think the 1% is the elite. I think the 1% is us. I think the 1% is like the awakening. And I think the 1%, if we can awaken 1% of, let's say, disregarding the entire idea of non-player characters, let's say everyone who is here is online. You know, let's just presuppose. Let's go all in on humanity. Every human is fully human. Let's presuppose that. I think that if we could get 1% of these people, of all of us, I think we could really break the spell. I think that all these things that look very, very cartoonishly fake, for lack of a better word. I feel like every time I say the word fake, an angel loses its wings or something, you know. But I think that things look obviously cartoony. It looks right. Like, especially when I watch like the JFK assassination.
Sure.
It looks like it's like a pumpkin gets exploded on his head. It doesn't look like that was a real human being in that car. It doesn't look real.
I think that was a Jim Henson production actually.
Muppets, galore. Yeah. Muppets take Dallas, Texas. 100%. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yes. I don't think there was CGI back in the day. And don't forget that Zapruder film came out, was it 8 or 9 years later? It was in the 70s.
Yeah.
So that was the Jim Henson Muppets era, and maybe they just had stuffed replicas and there was maybe some whatever he used to manipulate the puppets, those long wands or pins or whatever it was to move the arms, and that's why we didn't have a very smooth smooth movements, and of course they layer on all the herky jerky film where you can't quite make it out and it's not quite good and it's not smooth and it's just
manipulated no matter how you slice it, doesn't matter.
Just put Vaseline over the camera lens just to make things just not easy to discern. Yeah. So it's a scrim. I used to have one member here who turned against me. I don't know why. His name was Pierce Scrim. And I said, what is a scrim? And then he explained the scrim is this curtain, this veil that goes before the audience, and I think they you pull the scrim back or pierce the scrim to reveal. Yeah. So I thought, oh,
well, that's what apocalypse means.
Yes, revelation.
The word apocalypse literally means a the revelation mm-hmm. is the lifting of a veil. You're yeah. removing the veil, and the veil could be. I never heard the term scrim.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't either. That's why I like yeah. all these members. I often say, where did you get your name? Like yeah. first, I thought his name was Pierce Scrim because he said he was Dutch, and we get people from all over the world, so you don't know what a typical yeah, name cool. might be. But then he revealed that, yeah, Pierce the Scrim.
Cool.
Yeah.
You learn a new thing every day.
Every day.
I like words. I'm a word nerd.
Yeah, wordsmith, yeah. Well, words are spelled.
They call it spelling for a reason.
Yes.
I can't say that enough, you know. The more I get into etymology even just categorically with when you think about the concept of money and how it relates to so many words in relation to water, even the word currency,
sure.
like yeah. sea, S-E-A.
Right.
And if you give someone some money, you float them alone.
Sure.
If you're in debt, you're underwater. Mm-hmm. You know, where do you put your money? In a bank. And where is a ship harbor? Well, the embankment of a river,
sure.
you know,
yeah.
riverbank.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually quite, once you start playing this game, it's actually quite difficult to find words within our English financial structure
yeah.
of how words are that don't relate to water. It kind of gets kind of freaky.
Yeah. Maritime law. That's what we're under. And it's the basis yeah. of commerce and law. And yeah, you just have to go back in history and figure out why, I guess the merchants were really yeah. running.
We're on Waterworld. We really are in Waterworld.
Yeah, but they were running. There, nobody came over to North America to be a government. So I guess the merchants had to set up the structure of society. So they just used the merchant marine terms, and it just grew and grew and grew into this behemoth that is now imploding upon itself, and it's trying one last gasp to super corral and control us and reset us. And it's just so big. I'm hoping it just collapses upon itself because it's government's like a cancer and it's become so big and so bloated and it's so far away from its original intention that it's going to collapse just because all House of Cards do collapse eventually. But will it take everyone down and out with us? So
this is a great conversation.
It is. Thank you. Well, you're so yeah. smart. How did you get to be so smart?
Well, first, I also want to say it's not just a great conversation between you and I, but I'm also kind of keeping my eye on the chat. And you've got a really I don't think there's that many people in the chat, but it's very engaged. And there's been someone just the Dirty Benny user just said something about water and memory and the cloud, the idea of cloud and storing our data in the cloud and water holding memory. It's just all connected, and it's. I felt like that was a really smart comment. So there's like concurrent intellectual discourse happening.
Oh yeah,
it's cool. It's cool.
It would have been a lot bigger because most of my viewers were on YouTube,
sure,
and I didn't get. I couldn't. Yeah. So most of them, unfortunately, are over there. Dirty Benny's smart enough to go to D Live. He's also on FakoTube. The FakoTube comments I can't because it's my own platform. They're not integrated into the Restreamio chat. Unfortunately, you'd have to open a FakoTube window and jog over there, but there's nobody over there yet.
So it's kind of complicated.
It is. There's just, I don't like to look too much at the comments because it does take me off track and.
I couldn't help myself.
No, it's fine. It's good that you can keep one eye over there.
Just compliment your people.
No, I do have great researchers and I wish more of them would just comment, and they do comment on the blog later. And of course, Discord, and I don't even have Discord open right now because sometimes the Discord chat goes crazy as well
sure.
for chat.
Overwhelming. I get it. I get overwhelmed by technology. You know, I mentioned at the top I'm doing this podcast now, and I feel like like creatively it's a beautiful endeavor, but I also noticed when your energy when we direct our energy in other places, it doesn't shine everywhere, you know? And I noticed the whole thing that I'm known for is my Twitter human vibration. I definitely noticed that because I was like, you know, spending an incredible amount of time with my whole weekends devoted to the podcast, I wasn't doing human vibration on Twitter anymore. And
I know.
That made me, that realization made me sad. You know,
You spread yourself thin. The only thing I would love to encourage you to do is get your own blog. Yes, you have to sometimes go back in history to the where we started. Get your own blog. Make sure it's on your own server where you own your data.
I've already got all the back end stuff set up.
Good, because you don't want to lose this stuff. Don't lose it.
I've got it all archived. I've got it all.
Yeah, it's best. And then you can use bots to send it over to Twitter. And let them see what's on your blog, come to the blog, come make comments.
Oh, true. Yeah. True.
It makes it more concentrated.
I'm using the wrong delivery system. You're right. I could be feeding Twitter through my platform instead of
where you
using
own
Twitter
the data. It's so important to decentralize and own the data. Now, yes, it's true. Everyone is on Twitter because it's a very convenient place to go. Same with YouTube. But try and own your own data because you're pumping out valuable stuff. You want it to be searchable. I can't really search your stuff on Twitter because it's lost with the millions of other tweets out there. So if I wanted to look up.
I know that you don't use my Twitter like I use my Twitter, but I use human vibration as an encyclopedia now because sometimes I forget when I first started human vibration, I was so energetically committed. I was in it, like just pumping out all sorts of ideas. I was so on fire by Twitter. Twitter like really the platform of Twitter really allowed me to light my own candle. And I shared I wrote all sorts of topics, like any topic imaginable. I have some content there.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'll be honest, I'm getting a little lazy. And sometimes I forget. Sometimes I think I'm like, oh, what's this topic? What is human vibration even think about this topic? And I will literally look up myself. I will look up my old thoughts on things and remind myself what I thought when I had just unbridled energy about everything. I mean, because I just woke up really in January of 2020. This is all new for me. You're awake. And I've always been a curious person. I'm not going to say that I wasn't searching.
Mm-hmm.
I was always searching, but I feel like I had my personal revelation. Human vibration came online January of 2020 is when it all was when it all.
And why January 2020? What happened to you?
Well, it was really just my time to shine. I don't know what it was about it, but I got this download from the universe, from a star really, about something that I had been fascinated with my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
This path, it was the case of Jonathan Ave Ramsey, the little pageant girl. We kind of talked about it earlier.
Okay.
I had been fascinated by this case forever. For years. I remember because I first had my own internet when I went to college. It wasn't until college that I had my, because I wasn't on like my parents' computer in the office or whatever, like and what did I do but research JonBenet Ramsey? I wasn't downloading illegal, you know, I wasn't downloading
movies
songs,
and stuff.
I was researching JonBenet Ramsey, the murder of JonBenet Ramsey. I was trying to get to the bottom of it. And I mean, I have been like doggedly researching this case for many years. And I thought, If you're at all familiar with the case, many rabbit holes,
I was a huge fan of Larry King Live. I was sucked into CNN and Larry King Live. I think he's really dead because he was the walking dead for a long time.
He was like a crypt keeper. Jesus Christ.
No, he was old enough. He lived a great life by all accounts. You know, he married the hot blonde that was at least 30 or 40 years younger. So whatever he did, he lived at least two lives in one meat sack, as I call it. So he did pretty damn good. But he had me hooked for years. The OJ, the crime. I loved crime stuff and JonBenet. It was so exciting.
Yeah, I remember I was actually in Las Vegas on a family vacation. I was a kid. And as a kid, in Las Vegas, watching the Bronco chase TV, hyper surreal. I mean, like, you couldn't get more surreal, like, seeing it. Anyway,
the whole world was stopped watching that ridiculous chase. It made no sense. They could have easily stopped the car like they do every other car.
I think that the Bronco chase that we saw over the airwaves was unreal. I do believe that there was a white Bronco at some checkpoints in Los Angeles. I do believe that, like, between X marker and X marker, there was
maybe
a white Bronco. There's an inclination, a gut feeling that I have that the actual Bronco chase was an experiment in over the airwaves CGI or layering.
My thing is the OJ trial, the whole thing was a simulation that was portrayed as real. It was a merging of reality television and portrayed as real, just like the Orson Welles War of the Worlds, I think they purposely were doing a psychological test to see how people would react with this new technology called radio. Could they sell a story and make it believable, and could they measure the reaction? So I am convinced beyond a shadow of any doubt, and I don't have to go into any of the details about the this or the that or the knives or the blood or any of that story. I think it was a made-for-TV simulation, and they wanted to see literally how gullible the population is. Would they believe it? And 99.9%, maybe 100% of the world believed it. I don't think anyone at that time would have even questioned for a second if they were watching something that was pre-shot, pre-filmed, pre-planned, premeditated. The whole thing from start to finish was scripted, and it's damn brilliant. And I don't think you could even walk around today in 2021 and find more than one person that would even question the idea that they would simulate a whole series that went on for, a year or two?
And they
still think it's real. And now it's a joke to me when I watch O.J. Simpson's Twitter channel, because I bet he's got a tweet today. I should follow him. The guy does a one-minute monologue. He's a goddamn comedian. He's doing stuff today.
People love it.
Would a real killer really lopped off the head of two people, do you think he'd really be out? Give me a break.
No, I think that he was a character. I think the whole set design reveals itself to be theater when you really look at it, and all the fallout, everything that happened from it, even the comical, like, if the glove don't fit,
I love those catchphrases. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. That stuck in my mind forever.
It was meant to.
Culture creation on steroids.
You know, the spider web is sticky. You know, it's a sticky web. You know, there's the whole phrase, like, oh, the tangled webs we weave when we intend to deceive, I believe is like the famous phrase.
Yeah.
And it's a sticky environment. And I think it's all designed to, like, get us stuck in these ideas of what is real and what is not real. We're not even told to think what's not real. We're not even given that option. We're just shown, I think that our whole lives, essentially, we are shown X and told it's Y. Conditional programming. We're shown things that are one way, but we're told they're another way. Whether it's unreal and we're told it's real, you know, or whether it's good and we're told it's bad, or whether, you know, I think that there are so many things that, like, really make up the way that we process our reality that are inversions of the actual way And, you know, like you kind of asked me on to talk about space.
Yes, I wouldn't mind that presentation as well. We should do it
because it's you know, but, it's a long presentation. I don't know how long do these usually last? How long do these
Well, you know,
I don't want to bog you down on like a whole space presentation. I would like to talk to you about space, but I don't think I need to give my whole spiel. I don't think. Well, I mean, this is like a 66 slide deck, so.
No, that's fine. Well, you're definitely welcome back anytime because you're such a shining light on the channel. So I don't have any particular format. I usually just drone on for 30 minutes to 60 minutes. But when I have a guest that's special, well, it's completely different. But we have done a lot of chat.
That's what I like to do.
Let's just chat.
And we can chat about space too. I mean, if you really want to bring it to space, we're talking about this production. We're talking about this environment that we live in. And one thing that I said when I was giving this kind of space presentation, you know, our entire concept of space is contingent on Walt Disney, on Disney World, on what Walt Disney provided to NASA.
Yes.
Not just to the public, but before the public even saw space, before NASA saw space, Walt Disney imagined space.
Yeah.
And NASA paid for it. And NASA wanted this. They wanted these ideas of space. They wanted this imagineering, this engineering of space. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until 1946. So the cartoon Pluto the dog, which was named as a planet, Pluto the dog debuted in 1930. Pluto the planet was named in 1930.
Yep.
This is a connection.
And there's an image of Pluto on Pluto. Did you see that ever?
Jesus Christ. No, yeah. I haven't seen that.
I don't know. That came out a few years ago. Just if you can trace Pluto's head on the planet Pluto. I don't know if that's because they just came up with the shots from Pluto for the first
CGI
time.
The CGI is just so that you can do that. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
So this is 1930. We don't even know what space looks like.
Right.
So there's a dog named Pluto. There's a planet named Pluto. Mm-hmm. We don't even know what space looks like. As individuals on Earth, we have no concept of space until 1946. It's not until 1946 that we are able to send something out to space.
Right.
To see what space looks like. Before this, we had no notion. We didn't even have any. They didn't even teach space.
No,
you know, we didn't even learn about it.
But they told us to grow up to be astronauts. You're talking about back in the 40s. We didn't know. Yeah, okay.
We did. Space wasn't on. There was a lot that you know. We learned our terrestrial realm, but we didn't really talk much about space in the 30s and in school. Anyway, so it's not until 1946 that we send a rocket up into. It's from White Sands, New Mexico. 1946 that we send the M2 rocket goes up into space. That's as they say, and takes a picture of what they call is called Earth from space. It's black and white. It's very grainy. It shows a little bit of a curvature. I think that's purposeful.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's our entire knowledge of space. Well, Walt Disney just keeps, he's already imagined all of space. Like we have this tiny little like sliver of a photograph, but Walt Disney's already off to the races. He's already showed us what space looks like.
Yeah, he's animating it.
And this is just confirming, like this is just confirming that Walt is absolutely correct. It's Walt's good. And it's not until like over a decade later that we get more confirmation on what space actually looks like, quote unquote, from our space missions. You know, the first man in space is actually in 1960, Yuri Gagarin. He's a Russian cosmonaut, who looks the characteristic facial characteristics between him and Neil Armstrong, our first man, is remarkable to an extent that it would just knock your socks off. The side by side of the first man in space from Russia and the first man in space 9 years later from the United States, they are twins. They are templates. That's something that I say is human vibration. I say templates all the time.
Templates, yeah.
They're templates. They are.
Well, Hollywood actors are templates too.
What'd you say?
Hollywood actors are templates. If you look at peaceofmindful.com, there's a certain look, and it's quite possible that they have a human sperm and egg bank.
I think there's a base actor who plays like seven actors.
Well, I go as far as saying
seven. I think there's one base that plays like a few, and that's why there's a few that look so. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in clones.
I don't believe in clones either, but I do believe you can. I think most people agree that brothers and sisters, biological brothers and sisters, can look similar.
More genetic. I gotcha. Okay.
Well, it's just a fact. I don't know if there's such a thing as genes or genetics. I just know that you can see families, you know, back in the day when people had multiple children, and the children did look similar. So there is something to be said that people are similar when they come from a same father and the same mother. So I contend that there have been test tube babies for a long time. I think it's very routine and obvious now because it's a procedure that anyone can afford and do. But I still think that the intelligence agencies make people all the time, including actors, including politicians now. I think Obama was his whole backstory, complete misdirection. Yeah, I think he's a CIA baby. I think he was literally, they took a black.
I don't believe in a CIA baby. I will divert you there.
Okay.
I don't even think we need to agree. We both agree. Like, he's not what, he came out of nowhere.
Right.
He came out of nowhere.
Right. He has no real backstory. It was manufactured.
No backstory. There's no pictures of Michelle Obama pregnant. I'm not even talking about tranny. I'm not even suggesting that.
Well,
I'm just saying I'm guaranteeing that.
Yeah.
She certainly has the shoulders of a linebacker in front.
There's no doubt in my mind, but that's part of the mockery. But I still think that the intelligence agencies make people. There's no doubt, and they just are raised as literally a farm. And the intelligence agencies can pick from the farm. Okay, we want one of these this year. They've got it planned out.
Just raise the babies from they're real babies, and they just kind of raise them.
Absolutely,
from
there'll be an intelligence family.
Do you think that that's what feeds all these snobby schools and stuff? All these, you know, elite.
Yeah, probably. Really, and I think elite families, you know, people that are cut into the billions, I think they are given tastes and they have tasks where they can maybe get their children into the program, into the Jesuit Swiss schools.
Sure.
I don't think the average person can bubble up into the power structure. I think the power structure is very incestuous and they keep it to themselves. There's no doubt. And this year, more than any other year, you can see the massive coordination going on a worldwide basis because the synchronization of what is happening to us right this second is not local in the slightest. It is transnational beyond belief. And all the key players in all the leading countries, they were all placed there a long time ago, and now they are literally activated. It's almost like the aliens have landed, but no, they've been among us the whole time, and now this was the year to activate the system, and whatever they want to call it, I'm sure they have some fancy names. It's Project Implosion to me, in a way.
Sure.
But no, I think they make these characters.
Sure.
They make these characters. Even, you know, when you were talking about Walt Disney on that other podcast, I was thinking, now, is Walt Disney a real person in the sense? Was he organic? Is he just an actor himself that the intelligence agencies needed a granddad-like guy that, he was a great cartoonist. He made Mickey Mouse. Next thing you know, this rather poor drawing, and if I do say so myself, I'm not an artist, but Mickey Mouse was not an attractive animation. So was Walt Disney really this great, brilliant creator that created the simulation megalith that is Disney today?
That's a great question. And I think Disney always needed to exist. Disney, the world of Disney, I think that was always going to exist. And we live in Disney World. And I said that on the podcast.
Yes,
we live in Disney World.
Oh,
we do. We're not attending Disney World in Florida.
And we literally, my family,
and yes, we
my
are
family
Paris
is
Paris.
Full of
yes,
Disney. We had to make a pilgrimage every year to Disney World. I think last year we went just before they pulled the COVID plug.
COVID. Yeah. They're open again. I've heard. I've got...
Yeah, but my wife said she will not go with a mask. She will. That is her limit. She will not walk around Disney World with a mask. So
well, good for sometimes
yeah, she has
things aren't pleasurable with
it
masks.
It took
down,
a mask to stop these pilgrimage. I'm not complaining, really.
sometimes we need to break our tether somehow. So yeah. That's good. I think that's a good line to really draw on the sand for yourself too. I won't do this with sometimes you just gotta lay down the law for yourself. So it's good that. I wouldn't want to go to an amusement park while wearing a mask.
Yeah. But the point is, we literally live in Disney World, and our family, we do go to Disney World. So, yeah, I know what you're saying, though. Society is Disney World.
Society is Disney World, yeah.
Or Disney.
And I think that, we kind of hit on how the entire construct of space was introduced to the American public through Disney. And we really had a lot of excitement for it, just like we're excited about going to just as Mickey, the cartoon. And you're right, the actual cartoon of Mickey Mouse wasn't all that great.
No.
So like to pin this craftsmanship on Walt is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. I think it's very similar to everything that shapes our lives.
Sure. Shakespeare,
Amazon,
Mozart.
Amazon with Jeff Bezos at the helm.
Sure.
He is such a clown. I mean, that is that has been designed to purposefully have that embarrassing moment. The funny thing is
the funny
Amazon
eye,
logo,
the bald
he has
head,
a wonky eye.
Yeah.
And then he had the kind of like, he had like a dick pic.
Oh, did
scandal.
I didn't know.
But the funny thing is the Amazon logo has always been a dick. I'm sorry to use colorful language on your podcast.
I thought it was a Masonic swoosh, but okay, it's a dick. Okay. Well, we just
It's a joke.
I agree. The dick is, the phallus is a long-standing joke.
NASA is obsessed with
absolutely.
Phallus.
We just had the phallus get stuck in the canal. I mean, come on.
What do you think about the evergreen?
It's just more media entertainment. I don't even know if the ship was really even there. Honestly, I don't think it was. And then just some of the funny photos and the mockery with the geo tracking of the ship come on.
Do you really think that
something as big as the Empire State Building, as they say it is, could make those tight little circles? Give me a break.
Yeah, my question is, if you can make those tight little circles, how do you get yourself so stuck?
Right, and there's just, if you talk to real mariners, there's actual things that happen that they don't explain. For instance, when a big ship approaches a canal, the canal system takes over everything. The two captains of this huge ship, they literally hand the keys over to the canal operators who guide it through the canal. There are no mistakes. Business is too precise to make mistakes. So, in other words, this was just another engineered show to distract people. It had lots of phallic symbolism to mock people. The big rod ramming in sideways into the canal. I mean, it's just sexual perversion just to mess with people's minds. It's Operation Chaos.
What do you think? I mean, I think it's always been like that. I actually had this, the New York Times, I used to get the Sunday Times. I don't anymore out of protest.
Sure. I don't pay for propaganda.
But, I used to love my favorite ritual. We talked about loops at the beginning too. My favorite ritual was getting the Sunday Times and kind of reading it throughout the week because
it's a monster.
But I would save the front page. I would save the front page for the following Saturday night. I would save the front page for last.
Okay.
Because it felt like whenever I would go back through the front page news with a week's worth of foresight, it felt like I could see through all the bullshit. Like I could see how they were setting all these things up, and they were like foreshadowing all these things.
The script.
But one of the times was a space launch, and I had saved the front page for last, and one of the SpaceX things. SpaceX had quite a few launches over the summer of 2020. There's a lot of buzz. And they were doing a lot of all these inserts about just space. And it was just, there was a lot of energy about space. And they had this insert, that was meant for like the New York Times Sunday kids section, but it was like in the front page section too, because it was like all about SpaceX and everyone was all excited about it. So it wasn't just for kids, it was for parents too. Mm. But all the pictures, all these historical pictures about space, to me, I was like, and again, I don't want to use too colorful language, but every single picture was like, well, that's kind of a butthole. And that's right. kind of a nipple. Like yeah. every single
all
picture
the sexual
of space
innuendo.
Was like, in, this was all, it was all a dick joke. And I was like, oh my God, we are the butt
yeah,
of
yeah.
this dick joke.
Sure.
We are, it won't stop. It will never stop. And that was, I was already kind of, at that point, I was already onto everything, but sure. I was more using all these things as tools to like reinforce what I already believed. Like all these things are really scripted and they just play out. If you just have you just like are yeah. able to look back with a little bit of, with a new lens, you can see yeah. all these things in a new way. I no longer support the entity, so I no longer do this investigative journalism or my investigation into yeah. this journalism. But, it was kind of interesting to see how space, you know, I don't know why and same thing with even the vaccine, getting a jab. You mentioned something earlier. Mm-hmm. You mentioned something earlier about the four ways to get
ill.
Ill.
That we get sick.
You mentioned
injury.
And what is a vaccine?
Sure. It's a piercing of the skin. It's
largest,
a real injury.
Our skin
it's
is
a
our
trauma.
Largest organ.
It's a trauma.
It's trauma
to the skin. I know.
It's trauma to the
unfortunately,
body.
This last 4 months, I've told all my listeners that my daughter, I think, is vaccine injured because she was diagnosed uh-huh. with diabetes. Type 1, the worst.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Oh, my God. She was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes?
Yeah, and she's 18 years old, and she's fit as, she's as skinny as you look
Wait,
like
how
you
is
are.
That possible? How could she have been born with type 1 diabetes and only exhibited at 18 years old?
Well, that's the whole point. I don't know. Diabetes is just another one of these diseases
that doesn't add up.
No, I know that, but they don't. Diabetes is just another disease that they just can't get to the bottom of. After all these years, they just spinning their wheels trying to figure it out. So there is no known cause of diabetes. Although I am super suspicious of the whole quaxine, and if you understand that it's an autoimmune disease where they say that something in our own bodies goes ahead and attacks our own organs and destroys them.
Something's going on. I agree.
Of course.
I agree.
So I will give it anywhere from pesticides, the chemical industry, to quaxines. And I just reviewed her quaxine schedule when she was a child just to see how many shots she had. So... yeah, I'm quite certain that it's just another autoimmune is all quaxine injuries or vaccine injuries. I'm certain of it. But the point is that now that she is injecting four times a day, she is literally injuring herself four times a day to get this damn needle in her system. And the body does, there are big consequences to literally, and of course she has the sharpest, most tiniest needles you've ever seen now, and they're very good compared to what they were even 25 years ago. But the point is, you're still injuring yourself every single time. Now she has no choice, it's a life-saving injection at this point, but it is an injury every single time. And I witness it. And
it's
very
daily. Or is it twice daily?
It's four or five times a day. Like she injects more than any drug addict would ever do. And
insulin is extraordinarily expensive.
Right. We're told it was made from cows before. Here we go back to vaccine. But now I was reading, because I didn't know really today where it comes from. And I'm reading that it's synthetically created. Now, I'm not sure I believe that either, quite honestly. I have a funny feeling it's still coming out of cows.
Something that troubles me about the 18-year-old diagnosis.
You can be up to 30 and be type 1 diabetes, which type 1 is different from the more common type 2.
Type 2 is what you kind of fatty liver disease from just too much sugar to your whole
lifetime.
No,
the too much sugar thing is a myth. That is a lie. That is the number one diabetic myth. There's no, it's not from too much sugar. That is the number one.
So fatty liver disease doesn't contribute to type 2 diabetes?
I don't know. I don't think so. Type 2 diabetes, and I know I've explained this to the listeners before, but from the consultations we were at, the people that talk about diabetes, they don't even like type 2 being called diabetes because it's so different. In other words, type 1, your pancreas is not producing enough insulin at all. Where type 2, you do have a normal pancreas, but you're insulin resistant. So something is stopping the absorption of the insulin into the cell and combining with the sugar to create a metabolism or a metabolist of the glucose and burning it into, turning it into energy. So that could be anything from pesticide or chemical blocking to anything that is blocking the insulin from actually working. But type one, you don't have enough insulin. So you, the number one way you find out if you're type one is your sugar goes off the scales right through the roof. And then you your system starts breaking down. Yeah. And unfortunately, you literally, the only, unless you're doing a blood test every year, which maybe she was, I don't even know right now, but, or maybe within, in between 1 year annual visits, your sugar goes off the charts and then you basically start to collapse and break down. You get what they call diabetic ketoacidosis and you just, you just stop functioning, which is what happened to her. But, yeah, it's, but I'm convinced, and my crusade and why I'm 100% anti-vax is I think that the vaccine industry is what triggers most autoimmune diseases. And I have a severe egg allergy, which probably came from vaccination because the vaccinations in the 60s and they're still, they're cultured in eggs, in chicken eggs. That's where they culture it. So you're getting directly injected into your body foreign material from animals, and it doesn't belong there. Now, if you eat it, you have this whole thing called a digestive system, which can manage foreign things. That's what it's for. It can filter. It goes right to your blood. It bypasses all your body's defense because nothing naturally goes into your bloodstream unless it is traumatized into your bloodstream. So that's the end of my medical service. So yeah, for sure, it's vaccine injury. And it's just as good as an explanation as the official explanation, because there is no official explanation, which my contention is that the medical system is simply a cover system for the chemical industry, which is huge. The chemical industry controls the medical industry. They made allopathic medicine. It's a cover.
Even petroleum jelly, even like the baby, what we put on babies.
It's a cover story for what runs our system, the petroleum, the pesticide industry, all these things that we eat. We're all being poisoned. And most of us can take the poisoning if we have a strong constitution, but some of us fall through the cracks and then we need propping up with artificial chemicals that they create to counter the other chemicals that they are toxifying us with. So that might sound like quackery, but it's just as good an explanation as theirs. Okay.
Definitely something going on.
Woo. You know? But yeah, sorry, there's a long detour when you said injury. What makes us sick?
There's a reason I wanted to come back to it, because I think that there's something so significant that happens when we have trauma to our skin. And people underestimate that. Yeah,
it's crazy. Whew. Well, we've been going over an hour. It's been a fantastic talk.
Yes, really
good. You're super smart, which is, and it's fun talking to super smart people.
I've always been a smarty, and it hasn't always served me, but now it finally is. Everyone always, it always got me into trouble being too smart for my own good.
Are your co-hosts on your podcast as smart as you? In the research, or are they fakeologist types?
I think we really complement each other well. I wouldn't say, I think everyone is attacking it from a different angle. We're not trying to have a smart off on Real Eyes Radio.
Right.
There are some podcast appearances where there'll be like this crazy ping pong of all these crazy ideas and things that I haven't even really considered. And I'm kind of like talking out of my ass because we're like going back and forth. Realize Radio is really more of like, we're taking what we have shared, like what we really are seeing each week, kind of in real time, in taking what we've always done. We've always had this back channel where we're sharing stuff with each other and going, what do you think about this? What mm-hmm. do you think about this? What do you think this means? And human vibration, you say this, or like Rambo, you say this, and here's what I see this, or Murph, you're always talking about these things, and let me throw you this. I think it's more of this almost, I mean, we record on Friday evenings too. It's like at the end of the week. It's a very casual.
Mm-hmm. And there's four of you?
Outsmart each other. Huh?
There's four of you on the.
Just three. It's myself, yeah. Rambo, and Murph. And right. Rambo is Seek the Truth 101, and Murph is at Ninja Sniper Pawn 1. Right. It's ridiculous. I don't even ever try to say it.
It's hard to have a podcast with more than two people. Like, you and I are mm-hmm. doing well, but if we had a third, it does break the flow. And even two people can sort of break the flow if we go off on a tangent that the other person doesn't want to go off on. But I find three can be difficult, but if you can manage it, it's fantastic. But it can be difficult to keep on track. But you make it work, I guess.
Yeah, definitely make it work. I think it took us like three episodes. I think our fourth episode, which just dropped, Monday. Our fourth episode just dropped Monday, yesterday. And, I think it was our best one. We kind of really found our flow. All the technical things finally got figured out. And we're still getting to know each other. You know, we've been talking with each other back channel for a year on mm-hmm. Twitter, but we hadn't spoken to each other until we were recording our first podcast together. We had heard each other on other podcasts. You know, and mm-hmm. cause we'd all had guests on podcasts, and so we'd heard each other, but we'd never really spoken. And so I think episode four that just came out is kind of our best representation of what we're trying to do. Oh, I keep seeing this. What?
No, I'm the one that can put the chat up on the
cool.
screen there.
Okay, yeah. I saw that. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
I don't have a lot of time to go through it.
I'll give a 60 second.
No, I don't mind. I'm just saying that I've missed stuff because I can't talk to you and try and read the chat at the same time because I'll lose my flow. But, I don't mind putting that up because you definitely have to come back and show your space presentation because I really think it's valuable that you're organized enough to make a presentation because it really makes
presentations.
Idea.
I build presentations in my real life. So
no, it is a great idea because now that I'm doing video, mm-hmm. well, I do screen sharing. I don't do my video, but it really helps to watch and it keeps your mind focused while you're talking about a slide. So sure. I think that's a great use of YouTube or not YouTube, but video broadcast. So definitely if you can, we'll have to come back here and do another show just on that. We can just make it an hour because this sounds is more great. Of just getting to know each other.
I'm glad we did this.
You can talk if you want about this. This COVID psyop's not going away anytime soon. So if you want to tell us what you think of that, that's fine.
I do think it's all psyop. Mm-hmm. I don't think that there's like a new traumatic virus, global virus killing people. People are not dying in the streets as we were told. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that there's nothing going on. I'm not saying that there's people not getting sick. Or there's not like a coronavirus just means cold. Coronavirus is a category of cold. It's common cold. COVID-19, that seems to be its own thing. I do question if there's a COVID-19.
Yeah.
I don't question if people are getting flu, cold, whatever.
Yeah. It's a brand. It's a branding.
It's a brand. I really don't believe based on what I'm able to see with my observational understanding, what I'm able to see with my own two eyes, what I'm able to see and discern for myself. I don't see this global pandemic that they are presenting through the mm-hmm. news. I don't see it. I am not fearful of it. And, you know, I do believe what this COVID does is it rustles up all those four things that you mentioned mm-hmm. with what makes us fall into the category of disease, mm-hmm. all the trauma to the bot, you know, introducing, you know, the fear, deplatforming our quote unquote immune system, which I'm also very skeptical of. I believe we just have a system
that
works properly.
Beautiful. Yeah.
It's like an impenetrable black box when operating properly. Things mm-hmm. But just like a Trojan horse analogy, you know, there's some things that we allow into our lives that take down the gates of our immunity. Our black box becomes not so unimpenetrable. And, you know, through fear, anxiety, worry, stress, you know, about your job, about this illness that you're worried about, all of these things, and then getting an injury on your body with the vaccine, all of these things are swirling around each other, and they don't equal a healthy system, a healthy mind, a healthy body.
Yeah.
And so I do believe that there's real, real, real things happening, real ramifications, real people getting really sick, but I don't think it's from a deadly global pandemic virus. I don't think it's from a COVID-19. I think it's from this shared illusion, this mind virus, this coronavirus, which corona means head, crown, crown of our head, ring of light, which is knowledge. Corona means ring circling the sun, the corona of the sun during a solar eclipse. That ring of light is the corona. I think that there's something about our knowledge, about our crown of our head, about our understanding and our enlightenment that is coronavirus. I think awareness spreads faster than any contagion.
And
so that's why they want us distant.
Where do they want us to go? Where do you think it's going to take us, and how long will it take?
Well, I think that they can't double down. We can't go back on lockdown because.
Well, guess what? We're still on lockdown in Toronto. I'm in Toronto. I didn't even ask where you were.
I'm in Texas.
I'm in Toronto. We're still under lockdown. We're under the longest lockdown in North America. So you're in a different world than us.
Much different. And I've been able to travel freely. I've been able to travel freely and wear masks just to not stir up trouble. But I'm able to go eat at restaurants. Should I choose? I'm able to go out, go to the yoga. I go to yoga. I literally go to yoga and we take our masks off and don't get me started on that. It's farcical. It's farcical. We walk into this yoga studio with our mask on and then we share a very small, very warm room for an hour and then put our masks back on as we leave and pretend that we were protected. It's ridiculous.
Well, it only makes sense that you put the mask on if you are in the COVIDian cult, which I think this is to...
It's all a ritual.
There's a reason that masks
are ritualistic throughout our entire understanding of history.
Yeah.
Masks are a ritualistic play, and we are in a stage play.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes, it's the only way it makes sense. No point in trying to justify it from a health perspective because none of those stories work. They all conflict. They're all contradictory. And people should just stop trying to explain anything from a health perspective because that is just the hook to get you into the cult and get you, if you believe that, that keeps you in the cult because it's a fear tactic. But no, it's a ritual. It's a display that, yes, I'm in the cult. I'm part of this religion. I don't want to be emotionally blackmailed. I just leave me alone. I'll put this face diaper on and I'm going to just go along with it. So that's how I explain it. That's the only way. I just use it as a key to get, as the ticket to get in a door. I don't like using it either at work, and I'm not quite prepared to challenge the very vigilant people that aren't aware of exemptions because the template is worldwide. Everyone has an exemption to not wear a mask.
Sure.
But it's just how the enforcers decide to ignore that.
They can't even ask you about it because it's HIPAA laws.
Right. Like every country. Same with Canada. We don't have HIPAA, but we have other things. But it's written in black and white. But the idea that the police, the bylaw, all these enforcers, they choose to ignore that and hope you are not going to press the issue. That's how they get it going here. And we are probably ahead of the curve than you guys in the South because it's part of my theory that the disintegration of countries, states, counties will be via regions and megacities, mega regions. So you are in I think Texas on the America 2050 map is its own mega region. So you're getting a different flavor of the PSYOP because it's tailor-made for different areas of the world. Mm-hmm. So Canada, where I live in Toronto, is part of the Great Lakes mega region. We're getting similar treatment to New York State, Michigan State, Ohio, all the Great Lakes states. Mm-hmm. We are getting a similar treatment because it is part of the integration. We will be integrated. The border will disappear. Mm. Mega cities and mega regions will emerge. So you are literally in another mega region. You are getting your own dose of it because the people of the South behave differently. They have different values. You're still going to be dragged into the COVIDian world. You're still going to be in the cult.
I still live in it. Yeah,
but you are going to get a different version of it. Just like Florida. Florida is in its own mega. It's its own mega region. Mm-hmm. California, Cascadia, the Midwest, or the Plain States, I believe, have their own. So everyone's going to get it their own flavor. So that's what I wanted to.
The flavor of Corona. I am very fortunate. I have some autonomy. I have some ability to move and live in a way that feels normalized.
Mm-hmm. But for how long?
I've flown on a plane. You have to wear your mask. There's actually some times that I have not worn my mask recently. I've gone into places.
Mm-hmm.
I know they're not going to say anything to me. I mean, I have the privilege of being a pretty white girl, you know? I hate to say that, but I...
Sure, use it.
Don't
hate
that
it.
I'm using
embrace
that,
it.
But I acknowledge that I'm not going to get hassled. People are just going to people are just going to let me do my thing, you know? I've kind of like learned how to be invisible in a world because I've reached like a certain level of awareness of my own station. And this is like the worst way to end a podcast.
I think actually most people, I think you're just giving it from your own perspective, but you aren't a...
I just feel very privileged. No one hassles me.
I don't think most people are hassled, to be honest with you. And I do watch a couple of strong, more alpha males than probably myself that parade around up here. And none of them are wearing masks. And because you walk in a very strong way, you don't get challenged. And I don't think most people get challenged either, especially even up here where this has been going on for almost a year and lockdown has been going on since Christmas or into month four. And I think most people are just going along to get along or getting along to go along, whatever you call it. But I think most people aren't being challenged at this point. But there are certain places that have made it known that we will challenge you, like Costco, and there's a couple other super New World Order stores.
I think that's very purposeful. I think that's very purposeful. Yeah. It shows, I don't believe that the federal government has much power. I think that all of their power is illusory, and I think that they use these corporations.
Sure.
These very
They're hiding behind
corporations
them.
To roll out authority.
Well, they're intimidating them, and in Canada, they're blackmailing them because they shut them down, and then they say, we will pay you, we'll compensate you for the shutdown, do what we say.
Yes.
So the airlines are waiting. Yes. They are going to get trillions. So
business owners are like, well, my hands are tied. I'm going to lose my whatever, but they're paying me back. So I might as well just take the time off and whatever. Maybe remodel my kitchen. You know, I've seen so much more.
Home improvement is booming.
Commercial improvement, home improvement. I've seen people living their best lives, honestly, in 2020.
But it is all happening because of the old fashioned bribery.
Someone just called me out on my white privilege. I can't not acknowledge
I get
to move through the world in a different way.
I know, but
and I live in an area that's not white. And I notice that I don't get hassled, but other people do.
Well,
I have to acknowledge that
I know, but that is a culture creation injection. I can only see it from my perspective in Canada. We're quite egalitarian here. I think everyone is biased to people that look like them. That is how human beings, that is how people, exactly. Good. Listen, I see it in my industry. My industry, the white man has disappeared and it is controlled by the Southeast Asian community. Guess what? they're not going to call the white guy. There's no white privilege where I am. So I don't buy that for a second. I think that's just another divide and conquer psyop to humiliate the people that think that. It frustrates me, but I don't want to debate that. I don't think you personally. I think you have privilege because you're an intelligent person, and you were blessed with good looks. There's lots of good looking.
Yeah, I think that's more part of it than the.
Yeah, I do too. I really do. I don't like. I'm a white person. You can't see me, but you can trust me. And I don't believe in the whole psyop of white humiliation. I think that's just more part of Operation Chaos. I don't like it.
I'm actually Native American. You can't tell, but I have like more Native American blood. But again, I don't, I'm almost afraid to even leave. I actually went to school on a Native American scholarship because I have a Native American, but
what percentage is your Native American blood? Because
152nd.
How much?
If you saw my dad, 152nd. My dad
152nd? And that got you, that qualifies you as a Native? Wow.
You could be like 1208.
How can they measure that?
It's all funny business, to be honest.
It's
all funny business because records for many tribes don't even really go back. And then they have to rely on all sorts of measures that aren't quantifiable through. It's all very funny business.
It is. It really is. I think it's just part of a white guilt.
When you saw my dad, I look 100% like my mom and nothing like my father. And so, but he is.
Well, the only thing I can say about that was we only know for sure who the mother is when it comes to children.
I know. I was like, Mom, come on. Are you sure? Are you sure you didn't? Yeah.
Yeah. Are you having fun?
You can tell me, Mom. You can tell me. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll keep your dirty little secret, Mama. Yeah. But
man,
seriously.
Sorted families, you know, some crazy world we live in. I wouldn't put it past anybody. I was like, just tell me the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. You're okay. But don't be down on yourself. I think it's just because you have intelligence and you have an air to you. People prey upon the weak. Animals prey upon the weak. So if you are you're not confident, you don't walk with your head high, then people will notice you and prey upon you. So I really think it has way more to do with that. Plus, of course, you are in Texas. It's supposed to be an open state. So it's probably a little bit easier to move on.
Yeah. But the funny thing is the state has opened up. There's no more regulatory federal mandate on masks,
right,
which it really wasn't. It was all
or state mandate. Yeah.
State mandate. Exactly. There is no federal mandate. There can't be. But everyone is still very willingly wearing the masks. Nobody wants to give up the masks. And business owners have their autonomy. They can say whatever the business, I don't think you can go into Target. You can't go into grocery stores without a mask. You can't go into these large corporations without a mask, even though I quote unquote live in an open, state.
They all are supposed to obey the exemption, but some choose not to. And they have a million reasons why. So they are violating they're violating
just not wearing it and just going in and being like,
I agree. You can either fight and make a big deal out of it, or if you just want to go get whatever, it's sometimes easier just to play their stupid game, which it is, and just slide into the COVIDian cult for 5 minutes and slide right back out. But the damage is still done. But I'm not saying I'm any more, I'm not any braver or any more. I just choose the stores where I can go. Like today I went to get meat. I've already told, because the guy is very public in Toronto. He says, come in. He's a naked face booster, I like to call it. And
I haven't heard that term.
He doesn't harass. He's a great guy. And I said, you're going to get my Costco meat budget. I'm coming to you. I know you probably charge a little more. I don't care. I'd like to support you. And even though I'm not a rich guy, I'd rather give an extra 10% to you because you are the kind of person that we need. You're a small business, et cetera. So I'll go there and I'll try and support.
I think that that's the best way to do it too, supporting your local stuff. I've been trying to do that in the pandemic. It's not easy. I got to the Amazon thing where all I would do is order stuff from Amazon.com. That I can actually get out and about, and I moved into a different neighborhood. I'm in a newer neighborhood right now, like just a place I haven't been before. I'm really trying to go to the market and get out and really support. And I don't live in the good part of town. This is, I live in the bad part of town, and I'm really trying to support my local peeps.
Well, that's good. All right. That was a great chat. If you could come back, I'd appreciate it, because I think you said you had two presentations, one on space and one on something else.
Yeah. Well, I've got one on space specifically, and then I've got one on just really the whole concept and notion of this energetic deception, Loosh, through the lens, starting with the idea of the JonBenet Ramsey case, kind of going, kind of intro. It's kind of human vibration 101.
Well, that would be good if you want to come back. That would be fantastic. Have you ever heard? And he's opposition to my website. A guy named Dave J. Did you ever encounter him in your John? Because he type in Dave J. He made the mainstream media with his JonBenet musings from about 5 years ago. So, yes.
Really? What was his take?
Well, I don't know if he's still on YouTube. If you just type in Dave J and John, Dave Johnson. I'm giving him a plug, even though he has called me all kinds of nasty names. He's a really great guy, but
he was arrested.
Did you find it? No, I don't think he was arrested. But
David J Hughes, who's a JonBenet blogger.
No, his name is Dave Johnson, I believe.
Okay.
And what do we got here? Oh yeah, here it is here. Okay, I'm going to put it in the chat, and it is in the Mirror. And I think it was in a couple other papers. It went worldwide. So that the only reason I'm telling you that is you are a JonBenet researcher.
Yes, I'm fascinated by JonBenet.
And Dave J has been on my channel for a while, but he got a little nasty, and I don't really tolerate nasty, even though I can take attacks, but just overall nastiness. No, I don't really.
I try not to do any negative stuff on my Twitter. I've had it for over a year. I don't think I've gotten in one fight.
Yeah.
Of all the crazy stuff that I.
Did you see that link? Did you click it just before we go?
I haven't seen the. I don't know where you put it.
I put it in the chat, and it's in the. Wait, maybe
you didn't. A private chat. I gotta put that.
I'll put it in the private chat too. Nope. Sometimes the chat is not working, so there it is in the private chat. Yeah, I put it in the bloody restreaming.
I'm always thinking JonBenet Ramsey is Katy Perry. I will say visually, there's a lot there. There's a lot of similarities there, and I think that Katy Perry actually looks identical to JonBenet Ramsey's supposed mother. I think that visually, I'm there.
But just that picture of JonBenet that they put in this article, when I look at that, I only can see Photoshop. I'm sorry to say.
Me too.
It's out of proportion.
Too.
I think we're looking.
The head is ridiculously sized.
You got it. You got it. And Obama just allegedly lost his grandmother, and I put it on fakeologist.com/blog. They have the
The grandmother he visited Africa? The African
grandmother. Yeah. But
I actually just posted about that the other day and how fake that picture looked.
Absolutely. That's what I wanted to say. The picture of Obama, his head is a little too big and it's on not quite the proper angle. And then my wife said the arms or something wrong with the arms as well. So I call that photo slop. It's a bad job.
I like that.
It's a bad job.
I'm seeing that more and more. I'm seeing photo slop.
Yeah. It's not
more
good.
More and more for sure.
Yeah, so it's a weak effort, and is it part of the apocalypse where they want people to notice? Sometimes I think so.
I think it's a double-edged sword. I think the same weapon, the very same weapon that has been used to keep us under, to really keep us asleep. I think that the other side of the blade, which is finer and doesn't have as broad of a whatever. I think that there's something that's happening on the other side that's like awakening others. You know, I think that as asleep as the broad side of the blade can keep everybody under, I think there's something happening on the very, 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 very sharp the opposite side of the blade that's like awakening this small microcosm. Like I talked about earlier, the 1%. I think that we don't need everyone to wake up.
No.
I don't think my grandmother, I don't want my grandma to wake up. I don't want her to wake up, honestly. Mm-hmm. I do not want her to kick around the ideas that I have in my brain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that she's going to be happy with that, and I don't think she's equipped for it, to be honest.
And she won't wake up anyway. She won't unless she wants to anyway. You're not going to move someone that age. No, no, no.
I don't think it's even necessary. I don't think it's required or necessary. But I do think that there is something happening with, I think there's something truly happening amongst a small subsection of people. But I don't think that it's small, and I don't think small means bad or unlimited. I think small just means, concentrated, you know. I think that it's a small but mighty faction of awareness that's coming on board, that's coming online, and I'm very excited about what's happening.
Okay.
People are thinking thoughts that they've never been able to think before.
Well, They've had enough time if they're not working, right? There's been a lot of time to think.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think maybe that's what 2020 was all about too, was giving people a little bit of time, a little bit of breathing room away from the monotony, away from the rat race, away from this hypnotic lifestyle that we have constantly lived, and kind of getting back to family, kind of getting back to what's important, getting back to, I don't know. Yeah, I think that 2020 means clear vision for a reason.
It does. Well, and I'm a middle-aged man, you're a younger woman, but I think the younger people, they don't necessarily sign up anyway to their parent system. They don't necessarily want it. I think they're embracing the COVIDian cult because if it means change, and if it means, and the negative thing, because of this whole concept of okay boomer is a thing from about a year ago, they can't wait till they put the boomers in the shredder and just steal their money.
I honestly think it's going to be a slaughter. There's not even going to be nursing homes anymore. They're just going to be slaughterhouses.
It's
going to be weird. It's going to be weird because we've lost.
It's not even a joke.
I'm not trying to.
Yeah,
be
it's real.
Super facetious. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've lost our appreciation for our elders.
Yeah, and it's going to really hurt the younger generation if they don't learn, because they are going to be set up for so much more if they don't even, and there isn't a great connection anyway between generations. There's always been gaps, but I think this might be the worst.
Gaps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think in 2021, the gaps are greater than ever. I can't reach my parents. They're gone in terms of connectivity because they are just so in such belief. So I see so many separations now in this world. All the horizontal connections have been broken. And of course the government wants to create vertical connections. Mm-hmm. And so they can control everyone on an individual basis if they break all those horizons. So yeah, I think it's ugly. So, but you're optimistic, which is great. So I'm happy to hear that. So we should definitely end on an optimistic note and not talk about the negativity, because it's everywhere and it's almost addictive. So
the negativity is addictive. And I think that the energy that we experience in our bodies, in our brains, our minds and our hearts, and the energy that we carry with us, I think that colors everything that we do. And I think that there's a reason when, you know, wake up in the morning, if you're in a bad mood in the morning, your whole day is going to be shit. It just is. Everything's going to go wrong. It just is. You're going to carry that bad, negative energy with you throughout the day. Unless you recognize and redirect. And I think I'm optimistic because I really do feel an incredible positivity, and I'm unencumbered by the news. I'm no longer bothered by all the dramatic shit on the news. I do feel like I am manifesting and creating my own reality. I saw that in the chat just now and I agree with that. I feel like that is exactly what I'm doing with my life. 2020 allowed me to make some really difficult and personal decisions and make some changes, and I'm living my truth more than I talk about truth all the time. That's like my thing, human vibration, always trying to get through the deception.
Beautiful.
But I wasn't living my truth, you know, and I kind of had to take my own medicine. I had to listen to my own advice. And in doing so, I taught and reiterated to my real self that this stuff is, we are magical beings in a magical realm. And when we take ownership of our lives introducing chaos magic into your life, taking a different route to work. Just try it. Just do something different. Just go one lane over at the grocery store, the one that you were about to go into. Just curve your basket to the other lane. Like, just do it. You don't have to have a rhyme or reason. Just do something different. Mm-hmm. And there is something really spectacular and magical that happens when we take back that present moment. When you take ownership of the present moment, there's something really positive that happens. And I've been trying to do that in my day-to-day life. Moment to moment, I've been trying to really check in each moment. Like, am I being on autopilot right now? Or am I here? Am I just listening to the radio drone on? Or did I turn it off purposefully so I could listen to the birds? Like, what am I doing? What am I doing? And what is each input? And am I allowing it? Or am I just having it pass by, you know? So beautiful. I think that changed my life significantly. And I think that we could all be architects of our own reality if we just take back bit by bit.
Well, I look forward to the days, because I research a lot of negativity around COVID, but I look forward to the end of the day when I have a talk show and I can talk to people like you, because it inspires me. It's positive. I feel the energy, and you know a lot of stuff. And that I don't know, and I just like learning. So this is definitely
best mindset. I love learning too. I'm a big fan of learning.
So this has been a super positive call. We're ending it positively on a great human vibration. You're at Human Vibration on Twitter.
I'm also on Instagram now, new. I'm at Human Vibration _Insta. So on there.
Insta too, only because all the naked facers are on Insta. They're all younger. They're in the 30s and below.
I'm noticing that there's a very curious younger.
And it's not
group.
A great interface. I don't like Instagram for many of its flaws and weaknesses from the software point of view, but it doesn't matter. That's where all the influencers are. So you unfortunately have to adapt and go there. And I think their videos are, 15 seconds in the stories, and they're really sort of blippy to watch, but that's the attention span that you have to reach if you want to reach young people, and you literally have these 15-second clips, which is how you can get a message out. I guess it's sort of a video picture presentation of Twitter. It's a representation where you just have to give these punches of messages in the Instagram form. And so maybe you'll get success spreading your message there as well. I'm not really on that to express fakeology there. It's just because of the spread too thin discussion we had earlier.
I understand.
But I do draw upon it, and I do grab quite a few videos because I'm trying to promote the sort of the anti-COVIDian society that I want to stay in. But
It is. It's weird how many traps there are in the truth community. You know, it's like sometimes you think there's a. You know what? We're all just trying to find our truth. Who knows? I hate to say. Who knows what's a trap and what? We're all just trying to find it. As long as you have a good attitude about it, I appreciate the discourse. Sometimes I'll see people arguing about stuff that I have absolutely no, like, I don't even care about. There's this whole discussion on whether or not birds are real, you know, like the idea of, like, is the birds being fake? And I have no dog in that.
No, me neither.
But I enjoy.
I know there's birds because they mess up my,
I know, I got
bird
crap on my car. I know
I do have that too,
So, but I enjoy the discourse. I enjoy the, I enjoy seeing how people's minds work, even if it's just kind of a funny thing, even if it's just in jest. I still like watching it all go down, like picking apart this reality and questioning what is real and isn't real. I mean, that's kind of what gets me going anyway. So I like it all.
Well,
so
I don't
want to poo-poo anybody's truth.
Yeah,
we're all getting there anyway.
No, it's a big community. It's very diverse, and I can tolerate most of it. There's a few things I just don't go down, and I don't have to. You don't have to have an opinion on every version of truth. And we accept a wide range of mindsets at Fakeologist and the Fakeologist Discord, and I'm not critical. I leave it up there. I'm not a heavy censor unless people are disrespectful. But overall, it's a very large community, and I like any topic, really, that I have a little bit of interest in. But if you are a fakeologist at heart, or you have this point of view, I can talk about
totally.
Yeah, we can talk about anything. I could talk about the weather if you are a fakeologist point of view, because we already have that basis at which to look at the world. We have that filter. So that's a filter almost nobody in the world has.
It's pretty fascinating. Is our weather being manipulated like the Truman Show, where they can just dial up the...
Great movie. Great movie. That is definitely a truther 101. All truthers have to watch that just to get
definitely worth a revisit. Definitely worth a revisit. Well, this has been fantastic.
It's been great.
This has been a really fun conversation.
No, you're great. Well, I wanted to do your presentation, but once you just started talking and riffing,
I had a feeling once we start chatting, you would just do this.
Yeah. It's been fantastic.
I'm sick of that presentation.
It's worthwhile. It's worthwhile. It's out there in a huge, the guy has a huge video of 5.5 hours of other stuff, but, we should just do one for an hour where you do your presentation, because it's really, really good. I like talking about space. Clues Forum, which is where I really started my journey in 2012. Great research on space bakery. Same guy. That guy is a genius when it comes to...
I would love to connect with him.
Oh, he's so smart. He's actually... He's so smart, he's able to decode the stars in the sky, which are real. We can measure. They're real. There's something that gives light in the sky.
There's a luminary element. Yeah, for sure.
So you can measure and track, and he has his... And I'm giving him a plug because I don't really understand it, and I'm not really interested. But again, I have such respect for the man. But he has this model called the Tycho system, T-Y-C-H-O-S. Tycho's.info is his website. He's even got a digital model where he can track the stars and explain everything and every movement of the stars that is not explained by the Copernican model. Okay. And you should, have any interest in astronomy, but he definitely has it explained.
Simulated universe. Interesting.
He's super smart. Maybe you're at his level. I'm not at his level. But maybe you are, and he has an explanation for all the movements, including Mars and why it goes this way, that way, the sun,
I do think everything is pre-pathed, is pre-scripted, predetermined. I think every path is pre...
Well, I'll give you the Cole's notes. The Cole's notes is he does think the Earth is round, and the main difference is he said the world is only spinning at 1 mile an hour, which absolutely accounts for the idea that nobody, and even on the equator where it would spin the fastest, can account or feel any kind of movement. So that, I think those are some of the major differences.
So we could still be spinning, it's just really slow. Yeah.
Very slow. He says it accounts for everything when it comes to the stars, because we have, I think most of us...
I like the idea that mile means mile, and it's kind of like observational. And actually, did you know that from any point zero to the horizon, if you're at sea level, at absolutely flat ground level sea level, not any elevation, just literally point zero sea level, the distance between the 0.0 sea level and the horizon is 3.14 miles, which is pi.
Pi, yeah. Interesting. My observation is the Earth around me is flat, but he seems to say...
Me too, observationally.
His explanation for the stars and their movement, which is measurable by everyone. Everyone can measure the path of the stars. And it's only explained by his system. So I'm not going to argue.
I'm not arguing. And I believe that observationally, it appears to be flat. That doesn't mean it is flat. That just means that what we're being fed observationally through this system, the mechanics that our eyes operate versus everything that's coming in, the whole system, the observational experience for me is it looks flat, but it could be shaped like a pineapple for all I know. Who knows? Who knows what's
going
on?
But I think, I think I saw your research about the eyes and the inversion, and our eyes are spherical. There's no arguing about the shape of our eyes.
Right. They're eyeballs.
They are definitely balls. They're not flat.
There's no debate about the shape of our eyeballs. Yeah.
Exactly. So does that influence how we receive the information? Yeah. Exactly. That could be a part of the model of why we see what we see and why we perceive curves even, because that's our eyeball. There's no arguing about the shape of our eyeball.
Mm-hmm. Ball. Yeah.
All right. We could talk for hours. We better end it before you fall asleep there.
I don't usually do these on the weekdays. So
I know. Me neither. I got to get it. All right.
Well,
nice
so
talking with you, Human Vibration. Excellent chat. And
is it Ab or Abe?
My name is Tim, T-I-M. That's my Christian name. Okay. My original name was Aberrado, which is Latin for angry man, because my first reaction to finding out about how we were being lied to was anger. So that is an angry man.
I never got angry. I just always wanted to get even.
Yeah, I agree. And I did drop it because I really wanted to just have a descriptive name that describes what I do. And that's fakeology, which is the study of media fakery. Which was before Trump ruined the word fake, because, of course, he just twisted it to his own use. Exactly.
A whole thing on just what Trump is and represents.
Oh, my God, yeah.
What a character. I'm talking about characters.
He was a fantastic character.
Only for the spectacle. I miss checking in with that Cheeto Puff.
Everyone misses him. Come on, the whole media is collapsing without the guy. He's just so entertaining.
Really, you can tell everyone's like, what's Trump up to?
Yeah. But yeah, we'll save that for the next chat.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Have a great night. All the best. Okay. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Money.